Hey guys, hey, it's your girl Brandy Janae, aka Queen B, and we are back with another episode of Who Asked for This? And if you ever wondering to yourself, who asked for this? I'm telling you, absolutely nobody, but I'm gonna give it to you anyway. This episode, we are going to talk about the Real Housewives of Potomac. The Real Housewives of Potomac are back with season 9. Yes, they are on season 9, episode 1. All the girls are back, of course, without Candace. We're going to miss Miss Candy Pants. I was watching some of the old episodes this past weekend and week because on Peacock, they have a station that just kind of run the housewives. And of course, before one of the housewives get ready to come back on for a new season, they might do a, what do you call it? Like a marathon of the old seasons. So I got caught up watching that while I was doing stuff around the house last week and really got to get a nice good dose of Miss Candy Pants, Miss Candace. And I even tweeted that I'm really going to miss her gathering the girls and getting them girls together, because one thing's for sure, that's what Candace always did. Her mouth got her in a lot of trouble. And because she is having a new baby, I completely understand why she would separate herself from the group. I know she probably wanted to enjoy this time and keep as much negativity away from her as possible. And I'm sure that's probably a little hard to do in that particular atmosphere, especially when you known for being the wordsmith yourself, honey, and reading the girls down. Kind of like a Kenya 0.5, because let's give it to Candace. Thank God she's not as mean as Kenya, but baby, them words, honey, she got it. And I like it. I like a nice, nasty read. You know, like the Erica Kane read, or the, we're going to go all the way back to, what is it, Dynasty, right? Diane Carroll, her role, and Joan Crawford, like those types of reads, them reads that's just like classy based, right? Because we're not going to curse and we're not going to curse you out, but honey, I'm going to say something so gutter that you're going to know what it means and it's going to hurt. That's the kind of reads I like. Those are the kind of reads I give, and those are the kind of reads I enjoy. What about y'all? Now, make sure y'all go over to my Instagram page and follow this Instagram page for the podcast. Who asked for this podcast, okay? Nobody asked for it. I keep telling y'all that, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I love Who Asked for This, because I'm always asking, who asked for this? Don't you like that too? Anyway, back to these Housewives of Potomac. Oh, I'm sorry. I was supposed to give you the rest of that information. Make sure you are over, go over to Instagram and follow me. The Instagram is Who Asked for This Podcast? No underscores, straight all the way through at Who Asked for This Podcast. Okay, go follow me over on Instagram so we can go live and we can have some interactive conversations. In addition to my podcast, thank you for listening also, okay? And make sure you subscribe to my podcast. All right, now, back to Real Housewives of Potomac, Season 9, Episode 1. Okay, so, of course, the ladies left off with Mia and G going through their separation, right? But Karen got a DUI over the break, honey. I don't even remember really seeing this in the headlines. I'm not really sure what I was doing. I mean, my life has been pretty busy, but I usually stay pretty, you know, my ear close to the ground about these housewives. But somehow I completely missed that. You know what? It probably happened when I was out the country, because I was out the country for about 2 weeks. And that's a good time span for that to have happened and for me to not know anything about it. And by the time I come back to the States, it's kind of like quieted down. So I still didn't know anything about it. I am almost certain that that's about when that's going to happen. And I got the mind to go and look and check and see if that was the time frame, because I'm really shocked that I didn't know that. But anyway, the episode opens up with basically explaining that Karen got into a car crash. Fortunately, no one was hurt, including herself. No other party was hurt. But she was taken into custody and was cited with quite a few citations, DUI being one of them. And as far as Giselle said, because they did put it all over the episode, like they kind of put the text in there to kind of tell us, but it was a lot going on and they faded it out really quick. So I wasn't able to read all six of them. But from what Giselle was saying out of her mouth to Karen, it sounds like maybe driving an unregistered car, maybe not having an expired license, just kind of like some, for a 60-year-old, some silly stuff, right? You wouldn't expect to be caught driving an unregistered car at the age in which you are, 'cause you should know better. But listen, we're going to give Karen the benefit of the doubt. Happens, right? And, you know, it's not good to judge, right? Because you never know when the shoe is going to be on the other foot, or when it might be your turn, or somebody in your family or somebody close to you might have to go through something kind of similar, and you're going to want some empathy. So maybe give some empathy ahead of time so that you can know how that feel. I kind of feel bad for Karen with this situation, because I can't imagine being her age and having to deal with these types of things. And especially if we do know that this is her second DUI. So she's had a DUI prior, which might indicate that there may be some sort of drinking problem. That is something that they have on the cast alluded to about Karen in the past seasons. As a matter of fact, it may have been the past two seasons that they have brought up, maybe even three, Karen maybe getting drunk and calling people and having conversations. I know Fireball is something that she likes to drink a lot. So it seemed like something that was known, but maybe they just kept it under wraps. And let me say this before we go over to the rest of my notes and everything. Let me say one thing I do really, really, really like about Real Housewives of Potomac that sets them separate from every other Real Housewife franchise. Those girls really do stick together. If you pay attention, they nine years in the season nine, I mean, they still pretty much have their same core group of girls. Well, Robin's not there. Is she coming back this season? I thought I saw her. Yeah, she is coming back this season. But for the most part, with Karen, Giselle, Robin, Ashley, those are the four. And now we can actually include Wendy, because Wendy's been on at least five seasons now. So she can actually be included in that. But just to have those five ladies still kind of coming back. And the storylines are not stale. Outside of Ashley's. Ashley can go. Ashley actually, she probably could have left about three seasons ago. However, I do know why they keep Ashley around, because Ashley is messy as hell and she is going to get it started. And you do remember I said it in one of my other previous podcasts, when it comes to these housewives and these ensemble casts, you do need somebody who's just going to get it started, and they don't really care what the subject is. They don't really care if it's appropriate. They don't really care what the scene is. You know, like, they're not going to wait to have any couth about it. They're just going to bring it out just so we can get this thing started. That's Ashley. And that's why they keep her around, because this storyline with her and Michael has been a recycling storyline since season one. And I'm sick of it. She finally had those kids. You finally got separated, and then have the nerve. They show her on this particular episode at some point. She meets with a therapist or life coach or something to that effect. And she's talking to her about, you know, what's going on with her and Michael and how everything is going. And she mentions that she's ready to date. Like, I'm finally ready to date. And I'm thinking, girl, you was dating Luke from Summer House last year when you got back, when we came back from the season. So you already was dating. And I guess I understand, let's say technically, when she say, I'm finally ready. Because maybe she was just getting her rocks off with Luke. But my point is, don't try to present it to us as if you've been going through some, you know, depressive state and you can't get yourself together. Girl, you've been running around all over Potomac and wherever else, doing whatever the hell you want to, because that's the age that you're in and that's what you planned on doing. And you never really liked Michael in the first place, and it was always evident. So you had those kids, you secured the bag, you secured your, you know, your motherhood journey, secured the bag, and now you can move on and play with whatever little Tom, Dick, and Harry you want to play with. I just don't want to have to see it no more seasons. I want you to go off and do that on your own. Just give us an update, like in 2 years or something. Like, I'm really sick of Ashley. I really don't care for her. Not very much at all. That's the truth. Okay, so back to the top of the show. So we find out that Karen had a DUI. This is her second. Giselle calls Ashley. Of course, Ashley does not miss an opportunity to make sure she says, well, this is her second DUI. And, you know, she has that judgmental tone, like, well, la-ti-da. But I get it, too, because one thing about when you talking shit about everybody else, baby, when it is your turn, honey, it is going to be somebody who can't wait to make sure they are sticking it right back to you, okay? And that, in this case, is Ashley. Ashley, because she's had such a horrible run, and it's really because of her own husband, but because she's had such a horrible run, and every single cast member has been able to attack her about it, I think she's sitting back and just waiting, honey, one by one, just waiting to see when something gonna come out so I can make sure I get my lick back, because Ashley is gonna get her lick back. We already know that. Okay, now let's go to the next scene, which is Giselle going, well, that's Giselle's in the car. She's on her way to go pick up Karen. She's going to take Karen to lunch, which I thought is nice because Karen's license is probably suspended because she got the DUI. Okay, so she went and picked up Karen. They went to a place that they ordered some breakfast from. It was really strange because the guy made a point to make sure to say, like, he knew Karen and Karen comes in all the time. Like, he knew the exact meal that she wanted. But then at some point, it was really awkward because nobody asked for the information. But he just kind of volunteered that Karen had never had a drink there. Which Giselle is like, because it's a breakfast spot, looks like to me, right? She's like, well, y'all don't serve alcohol. Like, duh. And so he has her look over to the table, and he's like, well, what are they drinking? And I must have blinked or something, because I'm just gonna assume they had mimosas. I blinked or turned my head, did something, but I heard Giselle kind of say, oh, you know. And so it was like, yeah, well, I thought that was just a weird comment. So it really did feel like Karen probably set that up for the guy to just make sure he says so that it could be on camera. And okay, you know, one thing about Karen is going to stay as poised as she can. I think that is a generational thing. I think that's a culture thing. To just keep yourself together even when everything is falling apart. But I think she also wants to just kind of make sure she's debunking any type of seeds of her being an actual alcoholic. A lot of times people want to separate getting a DUI from actually having a drug problem or an alcohol problem. And I'm not really sure. I'm not a professional about if you get a DUI, if that makes you an alcoholic. But what I will say is that at the point in which you receive a DUI, you probably should be evaluating what your relationship is to drinking and if you should be drinking the way that you are. So I would agree with that. Anyway, so like I said, Giselle pick Karen up. They go, they have breakfast. The waiter makes sure he says it on camera that Karen has never drank there. Nice to know. I assume she's coming there at 10 in the morning. So that's not a big shocker, okay? Now we see Mia and G meet in the park with their kids. And then they have a discussion about the current state of their relationship, which, of course, they are separated. Mia is living with her boyfriend, Ink, okay? Ink is the guy who was introduced to us last season by G. Now, do you remember that at the end of the season, G ended up just basically spilling all the tea? And let me tell y'all something. See, this is when reality TV is at its best. When you very much know that there is a situation that was going on and going on prior to anything having to do with Real Housewives of Potomac, but it was also something that they were going to keep to themselves until the ish hit the fan, honey. Because G said, not with my damn money. That's what he said, okay? He said, you want to leave me? Because I ain't got no money. I'm about to let it all out. Because last season was when Mia actually admitted that she had married Gordon for his money. Well, she slickly kind of said, maybe I did. But listen, the way that you move after that man didn't have access to his family money, and you very quickly found another guy to get right up in his arms, and he well off or well enough to get you in his house. So yeah, you married that man for his money, because you sure didn't have any, like, let's stay together, let me hold you down type of function. Now, I know from her, she's saying Gordon was mean and he'd been abusive and he was financially abusive. I think that people are, before I even go here, I've never been in a relationship with a person who has millions of dollars. So I don't really know the level of financial abuse that looks like when you're talking about thousands of dollars and draining out somebody's bank account. Like, say they have $10,000 in the morning and you get mad at them and they go in their bank account and it's $2 left. You know, I don't know what that type of thing looks like, but I do know that people will hold things over your head if they know that you need them for something. And that is abusive. So that's what it sounded like G was doing to Mia. Like, it really, let me just break this down with the whole family business and everything. Because remember when Mia first came on, honey, she was making sure we knew that she was the CEO. She ran that business. It was hers. Gordon helped her open it. All of this. And just a quick short year later, all of a sudden, because you don't have access to the family money, now you don't have any businesses at all, which would say, logically, that G probably had the family give Mia a vanity title so that she could collect a paycheck. But that's exactly what it was, and it's probably the same for G. Like, you had a vanity title, which is just a title just to have it. Like, we don't expect you to actually do the work that this title requires. It's just a title to explain why you're collecting a check off of this bank account or this business, right? But Mia got on Real Housewives of Potomac and really took it there, honey. I mean, for all intents and purposes, until Gordon didn't have access to his family money, I was under the impression it was her business. And I was under the impression Gordon made his own money. It was not until he did not have access and they lost their home, their this, their that, that it really became evident that, oh, it's not your money. The second thing to that is Mia, like, jumped ship immediately. I mean, maybe it was a 6-month, you know, time period between filming and not filming. But by the time they was filming and talking about him not having access to his funds from the family and the family kind of putting him out, you know, she was already gone. She was already dealing with this other guy. Karen is the one that put it out there. So that's why I'm saying Karen, she probably staying laying low because she know the girls are waiting to dig into her butt because she has been a little messy Bessie. And, you know, calling out the people on their business. Like, she called out Mia. She said she was screwing a rapper, which we find out Ink is not a rapper. He's a radio personality. And they have been dealing for some time, so much so to the extent Ink thinks that he is the father to Mia's son, Jeremiah, which Mia in turn says, well, he couldn't be because I did IUI. I think that's the name of it. Listen, it wasn't until they showed the guy Ink that, and then they showed the guy, the little boy Jeremiah. I mean, he does look like him. I feel like there is 1,000% reason for them to go ahead and get this DNA test. It seems to me that everybody involved has a question about this. And I don't think that anybody was ever supposed to know any of this information. Gordon just had a spaz out. Gordon did what some of us women do. Like when your heart is broken and somebody is like turning their back on you, you spaz. And now you just gonna spew it all out. So he put out that information that the guy Ink thinks Jeremiah is his son, which in turn just caused Mia to say the truth about it, which this is from her mouth. She had IUI to have the little boy Jeremiah, but she did cheat on or have an affair. I don't know if it's an affair, she cheated, if they had an open relationship. However way it go, she was intimate with the guy Ink. And this is the reason why Ink thinks that Jeremiah is his son. I also think that he might see himself in his face, right? Because I would think that if a person did IUI, I don't know. I think you could take their word for that. But, you know, Mia's a loose cannon, honey. She is a wild card. And so you never really know. I think Jeremiah is that guy Ink's son. I don't know these people from Adam, but it's just the circumstances. It's the fact that in all of this time, if Gordon had not lost access to his money, we still would not know this information. I am almost certain of it. So it sounds like something that happened, they got over, but it's always been this question mark. And now that Ink is back, he's like, I just want it all. Because maybe, just maybe, especially because he's a radio personality, Mia probably always did really love this guy. And I think she said that out of her mouth last season. Anyhow, but he probably didn't have enough money for her. I mean, she was working at the strip club where they served steak and lobster in a ball gown. That was somebody who wasn't giving that up for, you know, like DJ money, radio personality money. Like, yeah, you needed to own something. So I get it. So she just wasn't giving him no play like that. But I do think her and Gordon must have had some sort of open relationship. Now let's just go here. Same with Karen and Ray, because I know that's been a running thing with their marriage throughout these whole seasons of Real Housewives of Potomac. But I'm going to just say this, speaking from my perspective as a 40-something year old woman, okay? I think that if you're dating a man, if you're married to a man who is 60 and up, I'm not saying you have an open relationship, but I am going to say you probably have some sort of agreement with each other about certain things pertaining to the bedroom. Listen, that's just my thought. I just think that. I don't have no real experience about it, but I just think that that's what would happen, right? All right, let me go pull up my notes because I keep kind of getting sidetracked. I'm saying so much. And I want to go back to my notes. So, you know, G is really hurt. Like, you can really see it. But this is the other thing, guys, when you go after these women and you know they only with you for the money, you just got to do everything to secure the bag because, listen, when the money gone, so is she. And that's just what it is. It's unfortunate. Maybe you should find somebody for love. Good luck next time, G. All right, so then we see Ashley already said she met with the therapist, said she's ready to date, even though she was dating Luke last season. So, okay, Ashley girl, basically you back with no storyline again, or the same recycled storyline, which is all Michael, divorce, but we still gonna pay and keep all of our finances together. Like, I can't even remember what it was she was specifically talking to the therapist about wanting Michael to agree with, but it's just like, girl, you in this situationship with Michael, I'm like over it, done. I'm over Ashley. I don't like her. She can go. Tell me what y'all think. Ashley, stay or go? Why do they, well, I know why they keep keeping her around, but Ashley, I'm just sick of her. All right, then we got to check in with Wendy, okay? Biggest news with Wendy, Wendy resigns from her position as a professor at Johns Hopkins. Listen, Wendy has worked my nerves these last three seasons also. And it's really just because she came in, you know, as Professor Wendy. She check in Ashley about you gonna refer to me as doctor. And then the next season you come and you like, I don't want to do this. I want to be that, you know, Thotalina. And maybe not Thotalina, maybe I shouldn't call it that, because that's what she wanted us to know, is like, yeah, I'm smart, I'm a professor, but I also have many sides to me. I want to dress like a hooker, I don't want to look like I'm a professor, I want you to think that I swing on a pole, and then I can impress you with my PhD, because I actually do not swing on a pole, I just look this way. Listen, I'm not buying it. I am not buying it. I always knew that Wendy found herself in this group of girls and she needed to fit in. And now that she has formally resigned from her position at the university as a professor, let me break this down. Because, again, go follow me over on Instagram, because we can have a real conversation about this. Because I'm about to put a pin in this right here, where we at. With Wendy quitting her job or putting in her resignation. And let's just discuss why it is at this moment she can be comfortable with that. At this moment she can be comfortable with it because she has this other career, right? She has the Real Housewives of Potomac. You get paid to really go out and hang out, eat, and go to parties. Okay, best paycheck ever. I wish somebody could figure out how to send me a paycheck to do the same thing. But this is the real conversation I want to have, because it's very clear, but nobody ever wants to admit it or talk about it. Wendy came on the scene and she was so strong within where her accomplishments were, where her accolades are. And that is what entered the room before she did, right? There's this thing that happens with African-American women, and it is the difference between the dark skin and the light skin. I am not saying that light-skinned women don't have PhDs, that they are not driven to be educated. I understand that those type of goals change individually, right? As an individual, you can be very driven to have the most accolades that you can get. However, there's a cultural thing that happens. Wendy being Nigerian, also just being African American, the correlation between what happens, right? Being dark skinned, you get treated different than light skinned people. And so it does become very important that you have accomplishments or accolades or achievements, something that takes you out of the category of just being dark skin. Because when it comes to lighter skinned women or fair skinned women, because they are looked at as more or easily looked at as attractive, or men seem to approach them faster or seem to prefer that type of thing, there is not much required from them. They don't need to be smart to hold attention. They don't need to be articulate, because being dark-skinned puts a stereotype on you. So I'm just saying these like little things, because when you think about Wendy, or when I think about Wendy and even her journey on Housewives of Potomac, I believe, which she has said that her being a professor and those accomplishments that she did so early really was from her mom. And I mean, I think we know culturally that Nigerian families are very, they have very high expectations on the family and what they should do, and they should pick careers and things like that. But I also, like I said, I think there's a double dynamic, because I think that is separate from the experience of being an African-American young lady, and then dark skin, and then having features that are closer to African descent. And that's where the word colorism has come into, and where they've discussed colorism in some form on the Housewives of Potomac. I think they tried to have a really good conversation about it. And listen, A for effort, but I do think that there was a better way to have that conversation, and that they should probably try to do that again, because that's what we're watching Wendy go through, honestly. It's two things at the same time, and both things can be true. There is a level of expectation that is placed on you from your family, and then there's a level of expectation about how you have to show up in the world so that you're not placed in these spaces of stereotypes of being uneducated or poor, or, you know, and nobody wants to be looked at in a negative light. So a lot of times dark-skinned women work very hard to be educated. I mean, to present themselves in that way. And that's why they probably come off a little masculine, because they just have to have their strength stand in front of them. So we're going to wish Wendy a lot of luck in the future. I'm not really sure what's going on with her candles. I'm not really sure. I think they were going to start like a weed business. So I guess maybe as the season goes on, we'll find out more about what that's going to look like for her and Eddie as they embark the rest of what's coming next for them. But yeah, but back, well, I'm sorry, y'all, that cut off really abruptly because I had to pause in the middle. But basically, I'm just saying that we're just watching Wendy go through, she's going through that issue with her mom being, just having those things pushed on her. But then I think she, at a certain point, she pushed herself to have them, right? Nobody has to go and get two PhDs, okay? that's expensive also. And, I mean, that's a lot of work. I mean, one PhD is a lot of work. I can't even wrap my whole thought process around a person being able to go through those programs and get out. But to do it twice, you know, it's like, come on now, who are you trying to prove yourself to? But at the same time, like that, like I said, that's kind of what it is. Like, to hold attention, you want to be, you got to be smarter, because, and that's where the whole, oh, you're pretty for a black, for a dark skinned girl, you know, and it's like, because originally the instant thought is that you're not pretty. And I don't know what that's about, because babe, black is beautiful, honey. It is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And it just sucks that in some way, shape, or form, society would have you not like it and have you try to denounce it and have you try to overwork yourself in other areas to make up for it. That kind of sucks. So, again, good luck to Wendy. I am glad that she, I'm glad that she resigned if that's what she wanted to do. So it was a very prestigious thing to have in the first place. So Well done. And now she's about to be 40. And here's the other thing, what I understand about her being 40, because the same thing happened to me. When you get ready to go into the second half of your life, basically, because that's about what it is, you start to evaluate a lot. And you start to maybe take some leaps and some risks that you hadn't taken before, because maybe you had things calculated and, you know, like you wanted to make sure you didn't make any missteps, X, Y, and Z. But then when you get to a certain point, that midlife, and, you know, like I say, at that halfway point in your life, you can evaluate where you come, what you've come through, what you made it through, what you was able to accomplish, what you didn't accomplish. And then you can decide, like, okay, well, what is this next half of my life about to look like? Is it going to look the same as before? Or am I going to get out here and do some things, you know, for myself that I want to accomplish before my time is up? So one 40-year-old to another, I'm proud of Wendy for that, you know? And even though she, for the last couple seasons, she was bopping around looking like she really didn't know what she wanted to do with herself, I think she very much wanted to be included in the group. With Candace being gone, it looks like that's going to be a little easier for her, because Giselle and her are going to meet up for lunch. Giselle did talk about the fact that she really wants to make amends with Wendy, and especially with this was a great Giselle moment. Because she just talked about her dad passing away and passing away sudden. And it just kind of put things in perspective for her about how short life is and not wanting to be angry with people. And her and Wendy really didn't have much of the issue. I think Giselle had gotten used to being mean girl status. Also, let me just point this out. I'm guessing Robin is about to be a friend of the show, because they did not introduce her at all this first season. I mean, this first episode, she did not have not one scene. So I'm thinking she is going to be a friend. But let's say this. I'm excited to see her to see Giselle without Robin, because that's what I think was happening all of this time. Giselle and Robin together are mean girls. And oddly enough, it's a dynamic that they're used to. Okay, look at them. They've always been mean girls. And whether they want to admit that and whether that was their intention, right? Maybe they didn't intend to be the mean girls, but you definitely walked around like the mean girls. So this is going to be interesting to be able to see Giselle without her sidekick, and to see her express herself without the sidekick, you know, without bouncing off of what Robin's ideas are, without bouncing off what her feelings are. Just, you know, seeing Giselle on her own and seeing her come to some compassionate ways. So I thought that was really nice when she pointed that out. You know, that she really wants to try to get better in a better place with Wendy. And I think Wendy would very much appreciate that, because all Wendy really has wanted is to be accepted in the group. And yeah, she probably did come in strong, because it is intimidating to be around somebody who you know is smarter than you. And not just smarter, not like just more intelligent. Because smarter can imply that I know more things than you, right? I know more things, but the intelligence level is what you know about. See, there's a difference. And so that is intimidating, to be in a room with someone and all you got is good looks. And this girl got a mouthpiece, brain, and she look good. That's intimidating. So moving right along, we meet a new housewife, or at least a friend of, I'm not really sure what her role is, but Karen introduces us to a lady named Stacy. This lady named Stacy used to work for QVC, and we find out that she is getting a divorce. I'm not sure who she was married to. Oh, it's some type of German businessman. I don't remember her saying his name. But they're going through a divorce. Karen didn't know until she pointed out that the lady Stacy wasn't wearing her ring. That's what Stacy said. Well, that's what brought me back home. Like, that's why she didn't move back to D.C. area. Because, honey, the German businessman must have kicked her out the doggone mansion. Now, let me stop. But, yeah. So, she back. We're going to get to know her. That's all I really have on her right now. First episode, it's not a lot really going on. We're just being introduced and reintroduced to some of those storylines that may have that we may have left out on last season. So what is next? I said Giselle is looking to make up with Wendy. I put a note right here behind that note. I love this for both of the women. I do. Let me go back because I don't think I finished what I love about Potomac, also about them sticking together. Yeah, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, I got a lot of notes. Okay. Yeah, so back to what I was saying about what I love about Potomac. Like I say, the women really stick together. They have their core women. And they seem like they're going to protect each other. Like, they throw each other under the bus. But it's about, like, frivolous stuff or like things you can take frivolously. What I noticed about Giselle during this episode, even when she was speaking to Ashley, and then she decided to throw Karen some type of lunch, okay, where she brought all the girls together. And even at the table, they brought up Karen and her DUI before Karen arrived because Karen was fashionably late. And Giselle is, like, not participating. I love that. Because this is not something, like, a DUI for this woman, for anybody, that's not fodder. And real quick, they going through that over there on OC. Also, another side note, there's usually one alcoholic on every Housewife franchise. But it's usually OC, New York, and who else? And OC and New York, for sure, were the two franchises that are notorious for just raking you over the coals about it. I'ma pour the liquor down your throat, and then I'ma talk about you, you know, about how drunk you got while I'm pouring it down your throat. That type of behavior, I don't like that. What I do like over here on Potomac is that, hey, it happens, and we gonna have her back. She going through enough with these courts. Like, you really don't need nobody, you know, kind of making it any worse. You know, DUIs, I don't know. I would be very scared if I had a DUI. And so I really like that about Giselle. I'm really, really, I got to give Giselle like 10 brownie points for that. Giselle has grown up. I've never thought I would see the day, but today was the day. This episode was the episode. Now, we're going to see if it lasts the whole season. But this episode was the episode. I'm proud of Giselle. She didn't feed into any of the chatter. Not about Karen. Now, the chatter about Mia is a whole nother thing. But that deserves chatter. And this is where Mia irritates me. Well, I like her. I have a love-hate relationship with Mia. Mia, for me, I like that she just keep it 100. Like, fine. It happened. This is what it is. Outside of that whole stripping episode that she tried to make us believe that she didn't work in the strip club, then she did, but all they did was wear ball gowns and serve steak and lobster, and I never had to take my clothes off. Oh, well, maybe I did have to show my boobs. Like, you're a stripper, girl. But what I do like mostly about her is that she just keep it real. Like, with the stuff, when G put it out there, she didn't really try to do a lot of scrambling to make it seem like he was making stuff up and she didn't know what he was talking about. She's just like, well, yeah. And even on this episode, it's just kind of like she's there with it now. Like, well, none of this would have been, nobody would know any of this if G hadn't said nothing. And which is what Giselle brought up at the lunch with her, was kind of saying like, well, yeah, we know, because G clearly like spazzed out. Like, this was not something that he planned to do, that planned to be public. Like, he was upset. You left him for another man, like, real quick. And you had him all, and had it all over Instagram and gave no F's, honey. And that man lost his okay? Lost it. And told all your business. Told it all. And thank God you and Jacqueline made up. So Jacqueline comes to the lunch brunch as well. Karen arrives to her brunch, and I think it's just because Karen had been around the group so long that she just know what it is. So, honey, she even took the opportunity to put all of them in their place before they even had a chance to step out of place in front of her. I guess she just knew they was already cackling, and let me just let them know where they can go, okay, already, before I have to tell you again, okay? Then, so that kind of opened up the door for the people, for the ladies to kind of grill Mia about what's going on. Like, if they're going to see G, you know, if ain't going to be around. So Mia is, you know, describing the, much like she did with G, she's describing this situation of G really needing their help and that he's really leaning on her right now. Well, actually, he's leaning on Ink, which I could believe that because I think you're leaning on Ink too. But anyhow, and then she describes a scenario where Gordon leaves laundry at her house and her and Ink wash, folded, and dropped off Gordon's laundry to his place. That was weird. And I don't know why that was important for her to share with us. And I don't know why Ink is washing Gordon's drawers. Anyway, but Mia gets upset because after she's presenting that's strange, right? That's strange for everybody. And G don't want to have nothing to do with this man, Ink. Like, it is clear. So, I don't know if you was trying to piss G off because, clearly, I don't think that man know that Ink was washing, folding, had anything to do with his laundry. He probably thought you was doing that. But now, when he find this out, honey, y'all gonna keep pushing G to the limit, and he is gonna go ham, turkey, and bacon on him. I'm telling him. Anyway, but so Mia gets upset because, yeah, that sounds weird, and everybody's looking at you like, why are you trying to present this like this is some co-parenting happy situation? Like, this is strange. However, it was presented to her by way of mentioning that it was possible that she really hadn't done much to protect her kids. I think Karen brought that up first, and then Giselle kind of chimed in, kind of doubled down on the fact that G being able to say that Jeremiah saw mommy in the bed with the guy, and now you got this whole situation with a paternity test, and it's all out in public, so they might as well just get the paternity test. I don't know. A lot of people have listened to her say she did the IUI, and they're kind of like, well, it couldn't possibly be. But let me tell you something. She don't seem to be very sure. So it seemed like there is a question. And the producers awfully think to seem so too, because they keep showing the little boy, like they keep trying to get good angles on his face. And not for nothing, that boy do look like that guy, Ink. He really does, even more so than Gordon. Now, I don't know. Are the girl and boy, are they twins? That would be, I would want to find that out if they're twins. Because the funny thing is that they don't, of course, they don't look identical. And there are some features that are different. They look very similar, but that's normal. They're siblings. They're half siblings. And that's what, like, I had somebody on my Twitter, on my TikTok kind of say, like, well, they look just alike. So, you know, it's probably Gordon's, like, the girl and the boy look just alike. And it's like, yeah, that's not enough. They need to go ahead and do the DNA test because that boy does look a lot like Ink, more than Gordon. And even though the sister might look a lot like Jeremiah, half siblings having one parent, sharing one parent, they look alike. my kids have half siblings that if you see them with my children, you would think they all belong to me. And that's not the case. So, yeah, they need to get a DNA test. And I'll be looking, waiting, and I'm telling y'all what my verdict is. That's that man's son. That is Ink's son. As soon as I saw that boy's face, like, saw it, and was able to have seen Ink's face, that's that boy. Now, or maybe they wearing their hair the same, but I don't think it's just that. That's that boy's son. So they need to go ahead and get that DNA, because Jeremiah eventually is about to come across this information, and hopefully they'll have that taken care of before then. That is pretty much how to see how that episode ends. Mia gets up, storms from the table because she feels as though the ladies, Karen and Giselle, are basically attacking her as a mother. Now, this is the part I don't like about watching Housewives. Like, I do not have the bandwidth anymore to entertain these girls, like, their crazy thoughts and their, you know, like, in the delusions. That's what it is. I just don't have the bandwidth, because that, like, now she's in the bathroom screaming and, you know, crying, like, oh, I can't believe they didn't say that. I didn't protect my kids. And, you know, like, she's using it as a way of them telling her she was a bad mom. Which, that's probably a guilt thing for her, because I don't think she's a bad mom. I would never tell anybody it was a bad mom. I mean, they would have to really be, like, really, really, really crappy for me to have that type of opinion. Because as a mother, I leave openness for motherhood. Motherhood is hard. And sometimes you don't always have everything you need while you're in it. So the one thing as mothers we can give other mothers is some fucking grace. Excuse my French. But yeah. So, but I don't like when people get into a situation and they want to kind of amp up a situation to create an issue that didn't exist. So for Mia to take what they said and internalize that as she's a bad mom, I think, like I said, I think that's just more of a guilt thing, because you know you married that man for his money, you done had these kids, and even though you probably didn't plan on necessarily leaving this man, you are in this messy situation, and it is not conducive to the way you were trying to raise your kids. Like, you are going to have to tell your kids, like, you might be a little bit of a slut. I don't know. Is that appropriate? That's the way I see it. Anyhow, the rest of the season looks like we're going to have us a pretty good season, which, again, Potomac doesn't disappoint. Potomac and Married to Medicine are two of the Bravo shows that I'm really never worried about, because they're always going to bring it. They got the people who know what to do, and they do keep their storylines fresh and authentic. Nobody's running around making up things except for Ashley. And even though Ashley is not making up things, her storyline just boring, and we don't care, girl. I don't even want to see her date. Like, I don't care. I don't want to see her do anything. I just want to see her go. Anyway, but the season looked like it's going to be really good. Giselle and Wendy look like they are going to make up. I am happy about that. And looks like it's just really going to hit the fan between G and Mia. So be looking out to get more recaps about The Real Housewives of Potomac for Season 9. This was Episode 1. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you are subscribed. And go over to Instagram. Make sure you are following the podcast Instagram page. And that is Who Asked for This Podcast. Until next time, I will see y'all later. Bye!